Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we've already had a lot of guests on this show already this week, so we got to do it. We got to open up the phone lines for you. That's what we're doing. Open phones. You can call in 406-294-0970. We'll jump into your calls real quick here. Or you can just send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app as well. If you just want to write something down, if you're a little shy to actually be on the radio, I get it. No worries. Send us a quick message and we'll try to share as many of those as we can. But I was thinking about it earlier this morning. What's my opening rant going to be? Where am I going to start to kick things off? And then we'll see what your rant's going to be as we jump into the phone lines here. And I was thinking about this. Our friends on the left, I'll see what they say on X and, you know, these social media platforms, and you'll see them say this every now and then, because they're really mad that they lost power at the state level here, and they're desperate to get that power back. And every now and then you'll hear them say, "We want our Montana back. We want our Montana back." And so I was thinking about that earlier this morning. Do they want the coal plant in Sydney back? Do they want the sugar beet factory in Sydney back? Do they want Colstrip 1 and 2 back? Do they want the Corret coal plant back? Do they want the timber mills back? All these things that we lost because of these radical environmental groups, because of these liberal federal judges, and then to a certain extent, liberal judges here at the state level, basically the policies that were put into place in the anti-business rulings that have come out of these, you know, Democrat Party appointed or confirmed judges at the state and the federal level. And really, the radical environmental groups are the ones that are calling the shots. And so when they say, "We want our Montana back," is that what they want back? No, because that's what they helped destroy. That's why so much of the need for resources now is coming from residential taxpayers, because they helped to destroy a lot of this industrial base in eastern Montana and in central Montana, and then in the western part of the state with the timber economy as well. So do they really want our Montana back? Do they really want Colstrip 1 and 2 back when they were the ones that destroyed it in the first place? No, they want the power back. They want the power that they had pre-COVID-19, when all these folks from San Francisco and Seattle flooded into Missoula, flooded into Bozeman, and helped to give them the power they've now lost as these political refugees from some of those very states finally had enough and have come into the state to boot them out of power. I don't know. It's just very interesting. Yeah, what do you mean by you wanting our Montana back? You guys are the ones that support the American Prairie Reserve that's trying to kick the ranchers off the land. That's the Montana we are here defending.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I mean, that's my question. I think I've already got the answer, but you tell me what you think as well. Do they want our Montana back, or do they just want the power back? And when I say the power back, I mean the political power. We know they don't want the power of Colstrip 1 and 2 back. Yeah, but again, like, they had these anti-business policies that were responsible for destroying our timber industry and destroying these timber mills and putting them out of operation. They're in the back pocket of these radical environmental groups. That's the Montana we want back. We want these timber jobs back. We want these coal jobs back. And man, I'm really excited about some of the new jobs that are in Glendive, Montana now. You know, you got Brixtal Defense that moved in. That was such a great, exciting announcement that came from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte here within the last year. But we'd also like to see those BNSF railroad jobs back in Glendive as well. Why did we lose those jobs in the first place? Because of the war on coal. Because of these attacks on the coal industry. And when there's less coal being transported via the railroads, what happens? You lose railroad jobs. And those were, you know, high-paying, very good jobs for places like Glendive, Montana. That's not the Montana they want back. They want the Montana back that was all in on the war on coal. They want the Montana back that was in bed with these radical environmental groups, shutting down industry instead of trying to get industry back up and running again. This is something that is missing in most of the media coverage when it comes to the property tax debate here in Montana. I think it was last fall, we had an interview. We were at the Montana Equipment Dealers Association convention in Whitefish and sat down with Lou Jones, you know, because he's, of course, got a career not only, you know, serving in the Montana legislature, but he's also served in, you know, as an equipment dealer himself. So very tied in with the equipment dealer industry, you know, with farm and ranch equipment, et cetera. But he knows property taxes. He knows the numbers. And you know, he was talking about this massive shift, not just in taxes, but this massive shift in collections. And he was talking about how there has been this shift in power, this shift in revenue collection from east to west. And a shift, basically what he was saying is that over the past few decades, Montana went from being an industrial base, an industrial powerhouse, to this shift in kind of an over-reliance on tourism and an over-reliance on properties and an over-reliance on residential income for the state. And so when you lose things like Colstrip 1 and 2, when you lose things like coal mining, or when you have the Biden-Harris administration attacking oil and gas, in that type of investment in eastern Montana, for example, and when you lose a sugar beet factory and when you lose a coal plant or two, that you lose the property tax revenue or other type of tax revenue that then comes from that industrial base. When you lose a timber mill, when you lose the timber jobs, you lose that that revenue collection stream. But meanwhile, you have a lot of people moving to Montana for the view. And so then you see this massive collection from residential property taxpayers. And that's how a Madison County, Montana, for example, you know, if you want to look at it from that economic power standpoint, now started to surpass other counties across Montana that had the big industrial base that made them the powerhouse. And so when these folks on the left talk about getting our Montana back, they're not talking about wanting the coal power back, wanting the railroad jobs back, wanting the sugar beet factory back, wanting the timber mills back. They just simply want the power back, and they want the power back for themselves and for the very same radical environmental groups that attack this industrial base here, which is exactly what the legislature, the supermajority in the legislature, and Governor Greg Gianforte are working to now rebuild. That's why, yes, they gave you your money back with income tax rebates and property tax rebates, and yes, they lowered your your income taxes. But even those of you that don't make that much money pay, you know, the top tax rate. When they lowered the top tax rate, that helped everybody, including low income folks across Montana. And then we got property tax rebates, thanks to the supermajority that were voted against by, you know, almost all of the Democrats in the legislature. But we also have to get, and this is what the governor's doing, is more pro-business policies back on the books here in Montana, because we have to rebuild this industrial base in Montana that has been under assault for decades now. And it's going to take time to turn that ship around. But that's the big picture, if you ask me. And when I say they don't want the power back, meaning they don't want the power of Colstrip back, they want the political power back for themselves. I'm talking about, look at what they did with COVID-19 when they had the power. They locked down this state. They shut down Montana businesses while they let the big box stores stay open. Did you see the story about St. Peter's Health in Helena? The Biden Justice Department just went after them over the False Claims Act. I remember when a certain Democrat lieutenant governor falsely claimed there was a freezer morgue truck outside of the hospital in Helena. Are they going to go after him over his false claims?
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flynn.
Well, that's some good watermelon salt. Man, I forgot I put that little electrolyte mix into my water there. I was like, ooh, that's good. You guys ever had that LMNT stuff? They get this watermelon salt. It's like a way to get electrolytes, a salty kind of... Anyway, I just took a swig of that. I was like, whoa, that was a shock when I wasn't ready for it there, but it tastes really good. But they actually, the company actually got started in Bozeman, Montana. I didn't even know that. I had first sampled their product when I was volunteering for Warriors in Quiet Waters out there last summer, and they had those, LMNT, hydration things. And I was like, man, those are good, really good. You could even mix a little something else in with it and have a nice little beach vacation beverage there as well. All right, phone lines are open. 406-294-0970. Karen in Columbus is first up. Karen, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Aaron. I just wanted to make sure that your listeners knew that Corey Swanson was coming to Columbus tomorrow.
Hey, very cool. Well, where's he going to be and what time? Corey Swanson is a candidate for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court.
Yes, and he's going to be at the Palladium Drought House, and that's 702 East Pike Avenue at 11:30 to 1. And he's ordered pizza, so come have lunch and find out what Corey is all about.
Very cool. It's been kind of fun over the past few days. I think, what was it, last week or maybe it was earlier, we had a bunch of callers from Northeast Montana and then across the High Line that were so excited to call in and tell people about how Judge Dan Wilson was going to be touring Northeastern Montana. He's another very good candidate for Montana Supreme Court. Why do you think people are so excited to spread the word on these meet and greet events? What prompted your call to make sure that people know about it?
Well, I think the Supreme Court election this year is the most important election that we have this season, this year. And I think people want to get back to law and justice. I think we want to get back to telling the truth and finding justice.
I totally concur. I caught up with Judge Dan Wilson earlier this week, and that was kind of a point that I made is like, Judge, people on our side are not saying, what we see happening right now is we see people that are justices on the Montana Supreme Court, some of the judges at the district court level, and they're abusing their positions of power to push their own personal political agenda. People that share my convictions and sounds like share your convictions, we're not saying we want to win these seats. We want the power back on the Montana Supreme Court or various judicial positions. We don't want the power so that we can go do to them what they've been doing to us. We just want fairness. We just want justice. That's all we're asking for here.
That's exactly right. We're not looking for one team to win or another team to win. What we want is for the truth and to follow the law.
That's right.
That's what we want.
That's right.
What we want.
Well, well said, Karen. Thanks again for calling in. Thanks for spreading the word on the event in Columbus. I was at an event Monday night with Judge Dan Wilson and Susie Hedlund, who is a candidate for superintendent of public instruction. Great candidate, by the way. She was not at the event, but the reason she wasn't at the event was because first day of school was the next day, and so she's you know, focused on kids and doing what's best for the kids. So she wanted to be there and be ready for the first day of school. And I imagine that's also why Corey Swanson was not at that event, because his kids are in that same school district in Townsend, Montana. And I know Corey has been away from his family so much on multiple deployments overseas with the military. And so I figure, you know what, he's going to be there for his kids the night before they go back to school, because he's you know, had to miss out on a lot from his family serving our country. So yeah, just one more reason why Corey Swanson, I believe, is such a great candidate for Montana Supreme Court. Karen, thanks for the call. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Mike in Billings. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. Thanks.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know if federal judges like Malloy and that are lifetime appointments, or can they be fired and replaced by the president? Because I'm just wondering, Malloy is just ridiculous.
Train wreck. He's destroyed the, he single-handedly has done more to destroy the timber industry in western Montana than anybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a few others around the state that we've got that are just absolutely left-wing and proudly. I mean, they don't even try and hide it. And I'm just wondering if, hopefully, when President Trump is reelected, that our senatorial and congressional delegation will approach him with, can we replace these judges?
Well, no, they are lifetime appointments, unfortunately. There is a potential recall process that can be undertaken, but it's a very high bar to recall these judges. But no, you're exactly right. I mean, these left-wing federal judges, they've done the dirty work of these of folks like John Tester and Max Baucus for a number of years. Baucus would always hide behind these liberal judges. Baucus would openly pretend to support the timber industry. Meanwhile, the guys like Don Malloy that he put on the bench would shut down these timber jobs and anti, you know, oil, gas, coal, egg, you name it. And so that's a big part of this Senate race that doesn't get enough attention, is that, do you want judges that are going to rule against agriculture, rule against oil, gas, and coal, rule against your gun rights, or support everything that I just mentioned? And you know, John Tester has consistently supported these radical environmental left-wing judges and anti-Second Amendment justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. So that way he can publicly say, oh, no, I support gun rights, but then back in D.C. put anti-gun justices and judges on the bench.
Yeah, well, Tester's a complete phony anyway. He's ridiculous. Maybe President Trump can offer him a early retirement and go away.
Yeah, well, one of the things that Senator Steve Daines is doing right now that is so important is what they're trying to do, because they're lifetime appointments, is some of these current left-wing federal judges that are on the bench in Montana right now, they're trying to do just what you suggested, retire early or go into senior status early so they can still rule from the bench, but get somebody younger and newer in there before Joe Biden is out of power, before John Tester is out of power. So they're trying to sneak a radical left-wing judge on the bench. But thankfully, Senator Steve Daines has been blocking that. And then we can get some decent federal judges here after January, when hopefully Trump and Daines are back in power in the Senate and in the White House. That's my take anyway. What's yours? 406-294-0970. Let's see. Looks like we lost Chris in Columbia Falls. I was going to get to him next. I was going to get to Goose and Butte as well. Sometimes I know it can be a little bit of a wait there, but phone lines are wide open now. It looks like Goose and Chris didn't want to wait there. But, hey, if you want to call right back, give us a call right now. The phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Chris, I know, wanted to say something about the logging industry and certainly this whole conversation that we just had with Mike in Billings about federal judges is front and center when it comes to our logging industry and why we've lost so many of our timber mills here in Montana over the years as well. What also is interesting is, you know, it used to be back in the day, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, you guys get my timeline correct for me here. But it used to be that, you know, here in the United States, we had these liberal federal judges that were always giving these environmental groups favorable rulings. And then they would shut down these timber projects. But then in Canada, man, they were subsidizing their timber industry in Canada. Well, now under the Trudeau regime, they're starting to rule against they're starting to go against their timber industry in Canada too. And so big surprise that now Canada has been plagued by so many wildfires, and we've gotten so much of the wildfire smoke from Canada here in recent years because they started attacking their timber industry also. Okay, let's get into some phone lines here. We got Sean in Billings. Sean, what's going on?
Hi, I'm Sean here in Billings. So I just want to kind of give everybody last heads up. Last night I had one of the famous door knockers come up to the door, introduce themselves, young 20-ish year old in there, and ask the standard questions, what's your big concerns, whatnot. And she turned around and says, well, I support John Tester out of this. How do you feel about that? I was polite, and I was kind and courteous, and she was talking about the drugs coming across the border, and I said, isn't it kind of funny how John Tester supports Joe Biden 95% of the time? And when he is he's in charge of this Veterans Affairs Committee for the last 18 years, but the only time you hear about what he's done for the veterans is when he runs for re-election. With that, she sidestepped a couple times and slowly started walking off the property. So.
Well, she's now identified you as somebody who will not be swayed by their BS. So you will be out of their you will be marked in their database, and she will go to your neighbor's door instead. But yeah, probably one of those paid door knockers that the out of state liberal dark money groups are flooding into the state.
Yeah, she was, like I said, she came up and you really couldn't tell who or what she was trying to, her agenda was. And then when she said John Tester, and then, like I said, I was polite and courteous and kind of let her say her spiel and whatnot. And then I kind of, thanks with your help and all the other talk radio that's going on, kind of didn't unleash, but I kind of also put my point out there.
Nice. Well, that's why they despise talk radio. They despise talk radio because we get the truth out there. We get the facts out there. They're used to the rest of the media that never brings up the truth, right?
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Relief efforts are now underway to assist those impacted by the Remington fire in northern Wyoming and southeast Montana. First, Buffalo Livestock in Wyoming is hosting a rollover auction on Wednesday, August 28th, which is today, to raise funds for the Northeast Wyoming and Southern Montana Wildfire Fencing Relief Fund. The proceeds will be used to purchase fencing supplies for affected ranchers. Those unable to attend the auction can bid online through cattleusa.com or participate via phone. Buffalo Livestock is also collecting donations of hay and other vital supplies for ranchers that have been devastated by the fires. Also, the Montana Stock Growers Foundation is gathering donations through its Wildfire Relief Fund to support livestock producers. The Montana Stock Growers Foundation is primarily seeking financial contributions, but is also accepting in-kind donations such as hay, feed, pasture, and fencing supplies. These can be submitted through a form on the Wildfire Relief Fund page and will be distributed by local coordinators to the affected areas. Ranchers who have suffered losses are encouraged to report them promptly to county, state, and federal entities. To make a monetary or supply donation, you can visit mtbeeffoundation.org to help Montana producers. And also a great resource in Wyoming is Buffalo Livestock Marketing's Facebook page. I'm Lane Nordlund. Stay safe out there, friends.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, I got the nicest note, a very nice email from the general manager at the IGA, at the Gary and Leo's IGA in Haver. I didn't get to see Joe on Saturday when we did our gift card giveaway Saturday afternoon. But I got to send him a nice note back as well. But he says, I heard all about the gift cards you did on Saturday at the store. I'm sorry I missed it. It sounds like it was a huge hit. Just wanted to take a second to thank you for spreading joy in our little town. Folks were jacked up. I spent an hour this morning listening to all the cool stories people have about your visit. Put a lot of smiles on a lot of faces. Thank you for spreading joy in Haver and supporting our business. What a cool note. That was just awesome. That was really cool. Yeah, you guys have been hearing, I've been doing these events, probably 85 plus events now all across Montana. We were at the Farm Expo in Plentywood. We were at Schmeckfest in Luster. We went to the grocery store in Lodgegrass. We've been to hardware stores, grocery stores, restaurants all across the state doing these gift card giveaways, these events paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. And so, yeah, we were at the IGA store in Haver on Saturday afternoon and just had a ton of people that we got to talk to and gave out gift cards and kind of gave them our spiel. And not everybody agreed with our spiel, but we had fun talking to them anyway. And, you know, we weren't there to argue. You know, we gave our take. They gave their take, right? And then you could take your gift card and go buy some groceries. So that is so cool to hear that people just loved it and they had some fun with it. That's what we're trying to do here. So that was a very cool email I got here. Quick inside baseball for you here. I wondered if we might have had an issue with some of our phone lines here because we had everybody on the phone line and then all of a sudden the phone lines had freed up. So Travis's microphone processor, our radio guys that are running their radio boards right now at the various stations across the state will know where I'm coming from with this one. So when Travis answers your phone calls to let us know who's on the phone lines for the show, he has a microphone that he answers those calls with. I think his microphone processor or something is giving him some trouble. So when you call into the show, he's going to sound a little garbled. But just know that if you call into the show, Travis is answering it. He's going to try to get your name and where you're calling from. And then he'll park you on hold and then we'll get you on the show. If it sounds a little awkward, that's why. So, but we still want to hear from you. We still want to take your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Mike in Big Timber, I screened that call during the break. Mike, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, you were garbled just a few minutes ago. Now you're as clear as a bell. Read you 5x5.
Oh, really? Even I was coming in garbled while you were parked on hold, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
But everything's fine. Yeah, everything's fine now.
Oh, weird. Okay.
The reason I called was it was on Mark Levin's show last night. He had a guest host, and it was he played a soundbite from the Attorney General, Merritless Garland, I believe his name is.
Merritless Garland. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's Mark Levin's moniker for him.
Anyway,
he said he's going to prevent any further January sixes during this presidential election, and I'm thinking to myself, oh really? If the Democrats lose, I do believe there will be some violent demonstrations around the Capitol and throughout the country.
They're violent even if they don't lose. I mean, look at the DNC. Look at what happened at the White House. They tried to burn down the White House practically. Remember how Senator Rand Paul and his wife got harassed right in front of the White House? I mean, and Jamie Raskin has already basically threatened. He actually used the word civil war in a video that recently got unearthed.
Right. So I don't believe a word this man is saying simply because of what he did. And, you know, they keep calling it, or they stopped calling it, an insurrection now. It's not an insurrection anymore. Did you ever notice that? they kind of put that word on the back burner. You know, these people are just as devious as can be. And I don't trust this guy Garland as far as I can throw him. And he's not all that big from what I understand.
He nearly screwed up the Unabomber operation when they were trying to arrest the Unabomber here in Montana. You had guys on the X, you know, ready to go in and grab the Unabomber, but they got delayed, because, you know, meritless Garland, as you and Levin referred to him, nearly screwed up the whole operation. But you screw up, you get rewarded. You know, you screw up, you move up in this administration. Speaking of some of the shenanigans going on out there, did you see this story about RFK Jr.? So they didn't want to allow RFK Jr. to be on the ballot in the first place. But now that RFK Jr. has endorsed Donald Trump and wants to have his name off of the ballot, now the Democrats are fighting to keep him on the ballot.
See how screwy these people are? I don't know how. No, really, Aaron. How anybody could vote for a Democrat is beyond me. I mean, just look at their ideology. It's pure Marxism from the get-go. But when you see them, it's a clown show. Do you ever go to the circus and see how many people they can stuff into one of those little cars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's them. It's how many of these people they can stuff into this narrative, and then all of a sudden, nope, that narrative's wrong. Let's try something else. And you know how these people are acting.
Well, these are the people that are destroying democracy. You know, first off, we're a republic, but you want to talk democracy? The Montana Democrat Party is suing to get the Green Party candidate kicked off the ballot here in Montana. And then in other states now, the Democrats tried to block RFK from being on the ballot in the first place. But now that he's endorsed Donald J. Trump, now they're trying to forcibly keep him on the ballot. And these are the people that shriek and shrill, democracy. Great to hear from you, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go next to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, thanks for calling back in.
You bet. You know, the lumber industry, you hit a little bit of it there. You know, they paid their country subsidized. So how can we compete with them? They started pouring into this country with their lumber. So, I mean, this has been a longstanding problem going back to the 80s and 90s. And we fought this thing through places like Montana for multiple years, fought daily up here.
Yeah.
So the lumber industry folks out there, you know, they paid a good portion of the tax, the property tax. So why did you let them kill it? And they're still in power. They're still doing this. George Bush was supposed to have stopped this, and then his leadership, you know, just went along with the green machine. So I don't understand that even today, who else is running for office is going to rectify that terrible wrong that destroyed the logging industry up here? You know, because this is a republic, like you said, it's a republic. It's not a democracy in that way. So get it straight. Seems like Newsmax finally got it straight. They had a good discussion on the whole idea of that this is a republic and not this kind of democracy that you are allowing these people to have.
Mm-hmm.
So these loggers, they left the state. They criticized and ridiculed the children in the schools, told them, you know, they were murderers, their fathers and parents were murderers, and they slowly whittled away so you don't have those kinds of people here anymore.
And then the schools wondered why. And then the schools wondered why they didn't have.
The trees out here are growing still. The trees around Kelso, Montana, Kyla, and Summers and these places, and you're going to have to cut them. Thank God that we're getting the rain and getting the protection, because it's not getting protection.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and you know, and then people wondered what happened to the property taxes from this industrial base that supported all these schools. Well, Judge Malloy shut that down. What happened to the wealth that we used to have in some of these rural counties? Well, Judge Malloy shut that down. And why did somebody like Judge Malloy get on the bench in the first place? Because you had a Democrat president and a Democrat senator who made sure that he was there. and he stayed there ever since. Yeah, Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see, next up after the break, Gary and Terry will be first up. So stand by, Gary. We'll get to you right after this. Speaking of wealth and the demise of our industrial base over decades that we're now trying to rebuild, I got a very good message here from Eric Moore, former State Senator Eric Moore out of Miles City. So remind me to share that one with you after this as well, because it's an important part of this conversation. All right, 294-0970, back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me read this message here. This came in from former State Senator Eric Moore out of Miles City. If we want to continue to fund state government with a two-legged stool, we must restore our industrial and natural resource industries so we have some income and commercial property to tax. If we move to a tourist-based economy, we will have to choose between some kind of consumption tax or face crippling home property taxes. Yeah, that's why it's so important that we rebuild this industrial base that these liberal judges and other policies have destroyed. And I think that's what Governor Gianforte and the Republican supermajority in the legislature has been working to rebuild, right? That's why improving our tax policy is so important. Yeah, thanks for that message, Eric Moore. Let's go to Gary and Terry next up. Gary, good to hear from you.
Yes, good morning. Couple of thoughts. Firstly, Democrats want to stop parking their intellectual integrity at the door. And the other thought is that people want to consider what produces wealth. Farming, fishing, forestry, and mineral extraction. All of our economy requires those four elements to do anything or to create wealth. My thought.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you're kind of tying in with my opening. What did you think of kind of my opening segment there about, you know, when some of these folks say, we want our Montana back. Well, they don't want those natural resource industries back. They were the ones that killed them in the first place.
Yeah, well, they've got it absolutely wrong. And it's time for people to become vigilant in terms of their government at all levels. Because once they get into a crowd, they tend to follow the crowd with these politicians. I have had great difficulty understanding how anybody ever elected Tester. Today it's a sadness for our state. And it's time to get off the pot. And as they used to say on the East Coast, time to fish or cut bait. Anyway, I hope all is going well with you, Aaron.
It is. Thank you. I hope all is well with you as well in the great town of Terry. It's where my cool ranch cousins graduated high school from. So great to hear from you, Gary. I appreciate it. Let's see. Next up, who do we got? Jason and Bozeman next up. What's going on, Jason?
Yeah, hey, just two quick thoughts today. You know, Kamala Harris was one of the ladies that made the deciding vote to have to hire 83,000 IRS agents to come to your house with 10-millimeter guns to threaten you to give back the tip money. Yet she's sitting here saying that she's for tips now, which doesn't make any sense to me. She voted on not having tips and having IRS agents come to your house with guns. Two, I want to let everybody remember, let's say a prayer for Ashley Babbitt, the lady veteran who was murdered on January 6th in the Capitol building by the Capitol Police. The news sure doesn't talk a lot about how the government's killing people, when the government let them into the building themselves, they actually waved them in and let them go in the building, and then they shoot the people. So say a prayer for Ashley Babbitt, the girl veteran who was murdered by the Capitol Police on January 6th in the Capitol building. Thank you.
Unarmed in the Capitol, yet look at what these left-wing rioters have done, actually burning police precincts to the ground, and yet Kamala Harris bailed them out, helped bail them out. You know, I think it was Mike in Big Timber who mentioned Attorney General Meritless Garland earlier in the hour talking about January 6th. You know what? They could have prevented January 6th. Nancy Pelosi, the D.C. mayor, they rejected additional security that day. President Trump offered up 10,000 additional National Guard troops. They were rejected by them. Why wouldn't you have security at any major event like this? And then, of course, they wanted to politically capitalize off of the very January 6th that they allowed to happen, right? Next up, let's go to Travis in Corvallis. Travis, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. I'll be quick. I just wanted to point out that President Donald Trump, it's significant who he has always run up against. The only candidate that has run up against a woman candidate, but not only one, but two, but I think more significant to that is the fact that he's run up against a Democrat tool, a puppet, a court jester, and a transmental ageist. That's something that not everybody can put on their resume.
What was that last one?
A transmental ageist, referring to Joe Biden. He doesn't know what age he is. He thinks he's 40, but he's in his 80s, and he thinks his mental condition is much better than what it is.
I almost forgot about Joe Biden. He's been on vacation for like 2 weeks. Did they already put him out to pasture? What the heck? Who's even running the country right now, right?
He's got a clone cow that's taking care of things.
All right. All right, Travis, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening in Corvallis. What do we got coming up tomorrow? Tomorrow's Thursday. I can tell you Friday. We're going to be live from Livingston with Friday's show. Live from Livingston Friday morning at Yellowstone Sporting Goods. We'll probably have open phones again tomorrow. This has been fun.